So let's welcome our next speaker, Dr. Penny Perkins VZ from the North Carolina State University.
So we're switching gears here. We're going from tree fruit to vegetables, which is a pretty big shift, considering, you know, I've never even heard of vegetable grafting until 6 years ago. What we were doing here, and by the way, I didn't put the little disclaimer on here. This is research supported by the USDA Specialty Crops Research Initiative for grafting, and not just watermelon, but also on tomato. And one of the things I want to talk about, first of all, I didn't put a little picture of grafting up here, but with watermelon, the shelf life window seems to be about 7 days, maybe 10 in the field. And it's always been kind of difficult to pin down what shelf life is in watermelon. Pretty much it seems to boil down to how sweet is it, how red is it, and how firm is it. And usually the way the system works is that you have about, you know, 7 days to get out there and harvest, ship your fruit off, and your fruit are going to last 2 to 3, maybe even 4 weeks by the time the consumer gets them. The thing that we've switched over to with watermelon, the reason it became so important to do grafting is loss of methyl bromide, of course, and that we have these problems with root-borne diseases, particularly fusarium, soil-borne diseases, I mean, and also abiotic stress issues that have come up, drought being one, salt tolerance, and also flooding. One of the problems with grafting, of course, has been done outside the U.S. for hundreds of years, and one of the things that comes up over and over in the literature is problems with the shape and the flavor, particularly if you use gourd rootstocks. We were able to build on this really rapidly with all of the poor results and go to the breeding companies have done a good job over the years of creating really good watermelon rootstocks to use. One of the things that we were studying on this, and Dr. Richard Hassel was really the leader on a lot of this, was looking at the quality aspects, and it came out a little bit differently than we thought because we never anticipated this result. 95% of the U.S. production is seedless now, so all of these trials were done with seedless rootstocks. And we were looking at the rootstock-cyan interaction. Actually, Dr. Hassel was looking at it from the production standpoint in Charleston, and I was looking at it from the fruit quality aspects up in Kannapolis. And we wanted to look at both the quality of the fruit at day time zero and also at fresh-cut fruit using this. So these were grown in South Carolina in 2013. This work's been going in about, this will be the fourth year. I'm just talking about last year's results in this talk because we use multiple rootstocks and multiple scions. And last year, we also did a study in North Carolina. What we were doing in Charleston, and this is the remarkable part, Dr. Hassel found the first year that he just had this kind of standing on its head idea that let's keep grafted melons out in the field past their due date. So they go out, they figure out they're ripe, and they keep them in the field. They either harvest right away, like you wouldn't commercially, or you keep them for 7 days in the field, still attached to the vine, or you keep them 14 days, 2 weeks in the field after they're ripe. So you're talking about melons that are sitting out in 90-degree weather for 2 weeks. Okay, well, you know, pretty much figure this isn't going to work. And then he adds another problem on top of this. So let's really test this system. Let's go ahead and bring them in and do fresh cut analysis. So you're taking out the fruit and you're holding them at 3 degrees for another 2 weeks. So your oldest melon is going to be, fresh cut watermelon is going to be as old as 4 weeks after being cut. And then look at the locular and heart changes because we know there are differences over time. We've been trying to pin this down for a while as to what's going on in the ripeness areas. And the first one of all for a fresh cut is always going to be about drip loss. So the way he was doing this, we'd cut transversely through the ground spot. One of the things we learned a long time ago with watermelons is you have to be very precise in how you do things in order to get any kind of results. Cut the cubes out. He's measuring pH, a very simple pH meter that you can measure directly on the tissue. This turned out to be very critical as well. You don't have to stick a probe in. You can just simply measure the surface pH and locule and heart. By the way, these were all washed in chlorine bleach and held at 3 degrees C before they were cut. And then held in deli boxes on the hard wire to collect the drip loss. Firmness was done at time zero and then after they were done with a handheld penetrometer. In North Carolina, it was a little bit different system that was going on. This is in cooperation with Dr. Schulteis and his graduate student. is to look at the composition, firmness, and melody, only one scion on three rootstocks. And then in this case, what I was doing was looking at the intact fruit held during storage, which would be more of a commercial system. And then also looking at the fresh cut product at the same time. So the Charleston research, what happened, this is a fascination. Very clearly, we had a difference in juice loss right away. So self means, and actually in this case, is no graft. I tried to change this and it didn't take. So we had about 3% drip loss here, which is already marginal in terms of fruit quality for the grocery stores. 2% here at time zero. Okay, over here in the grafted ones, we're using Carnivore, which is a squash, interspecific hybrid, squash hybrid, or Legionaria, which is bottle gourd. We reduced drip loss right away at time zero. It was 1%, so by 50%. And then after time, as you go in, you hold your fruit for 1 week in the field, your drip loss goes up. It goes up even more. And these are in the non-grafted watermelons. So by the time you're at week two, you essentially have a non-useful fruit for fresh cut when you're using a non-grafted one. On the other hand, if you're using grafted, you still have acceptable drip loss even after 2 weeks in the field. So that was pretty remarkable in itself, because that's the first thing people don't like to see is drip in the bottom of their thing, container. Now, what happened with the firmness? Well, our not grafted watermelons already were marginally low in firmness. Usually what buyers want is a 3 pound firmness rate in your watermelon. These are all like 2.5 pounds, maybe even 2 pounds here. And this is a wet year last year, which didn't help. Three actually is 2 weeks in the field. And by the time we got to that, we were at 1 pound of firmness. So obviously they were going to be pretty mushy. However, in the grafted ones, and particularly with this Strongtosa, which is another interspecific hybrid, I think. I don't remember. Anyway, we got this increase in firmness here, which is probably why we also got the reduced drip loss in our cold stored watermelon. When we went and looked at the lycopene, this is my part here on these samples that Dr. Hassel sent up, what we saw was that when we had the interspecific hybrid, we saw a slight increase in lycopene compared to the ones that came from the ungrafted watermelons and non-grafted watermelons. Last year was probably the closest we've ever seen our lycopene values. Normally, we see, particularly with interspecific hybrids over the last 3 years, we've seen an increase in lycopene content. 10% to 20% is pretty normal. What we saw was also is lycopene decreases over time in the field. So you start, these are examples of, I think, of watermelon that are starting to go overripe. You're starting to see a loss here of lycopene as you go to 2 weeks in the field. However, so one of the problems we have is we want lycopene. Lycopene is a red pigment. We want lots of it in watermelon. The other thing we really want is citrulline and arginine, which are amino acids. Unfortunately, we have an inverse relationship. When we grafted watermelons, we saw a reduction in citrulline arginine compared to the ungrafted watermelons. It didn't matter how long they were held in the field. We just saw a general reduction. The pH continued to climb. Again, another indication of fruit going overripe. And this is a warning, too, I think, because if we're doing fresh cut, you're approaching a pH that's getting closer and closer to neutral, which is always a big red flag when it comes to food safety. So certainly once we get up here, even 1 week's difference is making a big difference in the pH. And in this case, it didn't make that much difference between the grafted and the ungrafted, which in itself is peculiar because the first thing you think of is, well, I have better shelf life in my grafted fruit because they're less ripe. And that's not the case at all. Soluble solids content showed no relationship here. Overall, a 1% difference would be marginal in insignificance anyway. And soluble solids is mostly sugars in watermelon, a little bit of acidity. But we also see, particularly in ungrafted, I think there's some water-soluble polysaccharides that also will boost up soluble solids content in watermelon. In North Carolina, what we saw, we had the Shintosa Maces Carnivore, or no graft. and we were holding these at 13 degrees C. And what we saw was that there's a slight change in soluble solids with the carnivore giving a slightly higher content. pH is not different. Lycopene content was a little bit higher here in our grafted watermelons. It's kind of the similar trend we tend to see over time. When we did our fresh cut after storage, we cut these into sticks. We were trying a new approach. Instead of using our normal cubes, we were trying a stick approach. So it'd be like a watermelon. We call it a watermelon fry. So it's sort of like a French fry, watermelon style. We used Melody as our cyan, and we held them up to 14 days. We saw a gain in the firmness over 14 days. We about doubled our firmness over the ones that were not grafted. And the lycopene content was higher. So what we saw in summary here was that the grafting extended the field life by 7 days in the southeast United States. It's very hard to explain the concept of field life, but to me it's pretty remarkable that essentially it means you don't have to go and harvest all of your watermelon fruit exactly when they're ripe. You have a week leeway, essentially. I would say you do not want to hold them more than a week in the field because you start to get into senescence when you get to 2 weeks in the field. But certainly grafting was enabled us to do that extra week. The most effective rootstocks by far have been the interspecific squash hybrids. Now, you know, they think, well, you get a winter, but as we found out, interspecific hybrids really attract nematodes. So we fixed one problem, created another problem. And then when we did the fresh cut packs from the field stored fruit, we were able to hold them yet another 2 weeks at 3 degrees. And when you're talking about watermelon, which has very, very few value-added products, anything you can do to extend your life or come up with a new product that will work with watermelon is a big plus. We had less strip loss and more firmness of these fresh cuts. And again, as I said, at 14 days field life, we had less effectiveness. So definitely 7 days would be better. The problem we had is lycopene increased slightly, but citrulline decreased in grafted fruit. We don't know why. It's got to be related to the drip loss, I think. And it may be that it's being tied up in the total free water. We haven't measured precisely what the total free water might be in a grafted fruit versus a non-grafted fruit. We tend to see this in general, too, that seedless watermelons, the tests that I've done in my lab, seedless watermelons seem to have a little bit less citrulline than seeded, which, again, would go back to the firmness. Usually seedless are a little firmer. And then the watermelons were cut, then stored, then used for fresh cut, had less effect than when kept in the field. In other words, we gained more by keeping the watermelon in the field before harvesting than we did by trying to bring them in when they're ripe and holding them in storage, which is probably a good thing because it saves an energy cost by doing it that way. And that is all I have, so we probably cut it back up to time. Yeah.
Have you looked at the nutrient profile?
The what?
Handle nutrient profile between root stocks and self-rooted? Have you looked at sodium?
No, we have not. We have not done that. That's a good point.
So, are you seeing a conversion of lycopene to beta carotene?
Yeah, the question was about looking at a conversion of lycopene to beta carotene with storage. And we did look at that. We didn't see any differences there. Yeah, it wasn't quite far enough along to see that. In these particular rootstocks, we do not see an off flavor. We had plenty of people trying them. But no, we don't have any off flavor issues with these. If it was gourd, I'd be worried. Yeah.
Any other questions? So, Penny, I have a question. Curious, the fruit can be held longer from flower plant for a week in a field. So what is the, some hypothesis there?
That's a good question. The question is, if you can hold the fruit longer in the field, why would that be? And it's got to go back to the root itself or the plant itself and it being able to confer some sort of probably a kinin type effect on the fruit to keep it in good shape.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
Okay, thank you, Penny.
Thank you.